Glory to God. Who are you to deny what the Lord can do? He's able to do exceedingly. I don't care what you might be facing right now. Maybe a hard spot in your life. So we're singing these songs. And you know what? I'm going through it. But you know what? He's not done with you yet. This is not hype, y'all. I mean, we're not here. There's no hype about this. Huh? We serve a mighty God. We serve a God who's more than enough. He's able and willing. He's got great things in store for you. But you got to believe that. I can't believe that for you. Believe that the best is yet to come for you. I'm going to get to your assignment in a minute. But are y'all ready for the word?
Yes.
All right. Well, first, a little housekeeping. On March 1st, business owners, business people wanting to start a business, it's never been a better time than right now. It's the greatest days for believers. We are living in the days of great grace. This is the year of great grace. I declared that first of the year. Praise God. This is the year of great grace. Thank you for your enthusiasm and excitement about that. That means great favor. Grace is God's unearned, unmerited favor. He's got great things in store for you. Glad we got an excited group here today. I'll get excited for you. I know you're just holding that emotion on the inside. It's okay to let it out. All right. Where's Gloria? Okay, there she is. All right. I know she's going to help me. And praise God. I'm excited for what God is doing in your life. He has things that you don't know about that he's working on for you. And when you believe that, you can be excited about what's yet to come. Amen. The reason why some can't rejoice is because they got to see something. Don't be a Thomas kind of believer. Lest I see in his hands the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Jesus showed up. He's like, come here, boy. Give me your hand. Put it in my side. Here's my finger. Here's the print. Here's my hand, okay? He said, because you see me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen but yet have believed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all can go ahead and start that clock. Praise God. Housekeeping. So on March 1st, 10 a.m., mark your calendar, if we're going to have a business workshop for business owners, people who want to get in business, we're going to share some things that will help you get started. We're going to help you. We're going to have some speakers, people who are in business and are going to help you with yours. Praise God. So come and check that out if you are interested. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. This is the best days to be living in. Now, you might say, well, how can you say that with all the stuff going on in this world, all the, you know, confusion and things like that because of the news? Whose report you reading? See, we got inside information in this thing. Yeah, whose report will you believe? I don't, like, if you watch the news, you can be depressed, man. But it doesn't make any difference what's happening in the world. A lot of things. It's not intelligence and smarts that will cause you to be successful. It's dependent on God. Some of the smartest people in the world got this world messed up. A lot of things that's happening in the world are fighting. It doesn't make sense, right? Fighting over, I mean, it seems like reasonable people can sit down and figure something out. But people want to make war and things of that nature. It's just, it's human nature. Humans are selfish by nature. So what's the solution? You got to change a person's nature. You got to change a person's heart. And so now we're getting into the gospel. Being born again, that's the only way a person's heart can change. There's only dead people and alive people. There's only darkness and there's light. That's it. But we're the light. And I read that scripture. I'm not going to read it again. In Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for the light has come. We are the light. The world will get darker and darker. We're going to get brighter and brighter. But you're going to have to be grounded and established in righteousness. The believer should be established, say established, established. In righteousness. In righteousness. What does the word established mean to you? What does that mean to you? Settle.
To be in.
To be in. To know, grounded, huh? Good. Righteousness is we have right standing with God. That you're accepted, approved, not guilty, well-pleasing to God. And Isaiah 54 says you shall be established in righteousness and you won't fear. You won't fear what's going on in the world when you're established in who you are in Christ. You accepted, you approved, you're not guilty. And you have, when you receive, lambano is the word for receiving in Romans 5:17, the abundance of grace. We're in the year of great grace. And the gift of righteousness, the abundance of unmerited favor. Woo, glory to God. I knew I had somebody going to shout with me. And the gift, you don't earn it. You don't earn acceptance. You don't earn his love. You don't earn his approval. We have it.
Yes, I do.
And we're in a year of great grace, man. So expect great grace. The Lord gave me a great illustration. Remember your assignment. We're talking about the believer's authority. What's your assignment? They say it takes 21 days to develop a habit. So we're going to extend this assignment from 1 week to 3 weeks. That gives us 21 days. And what's the assignment? We're going to think big. What are we going to do? We're going to think like what? Think like a king. Huh? And we'll get to this sometime in this study, but we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Our being seated is symbolism. Because we're not physically in heavenly places. Right. Spiritually, we are. Jesus is there right now, our representative. The Bible tells us that we're heirs of God, Romans 8:17, and joint heirs with Jesus. Heirs. That means we have inheritance. Because of his finished work. We're blessed, we're healed, we're prosperous, we're victorious, and we're seated. And so we should carry with us 21 days to develop a habit. I want us to develop a habit that will extend beyond 21 days. We get a mindset of royalty. You are a royal priesthood. You're king. Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the big K King of the little K Kings, that's us.
Yes, yes.
Huh? One translation of Romans 5:17 says, we shall reign as kings in life. I'm going somewhere, y'all. Okay, y'all with me?
Yes.
I was thinking about the Queen of England. And her coronation, there's really not a literal throne, but there's a chair used in the coronation. It's the St. Edward's chair, is what it's called. How many of you know she ain't sitting there now? It's symbolic. Even though she's not sitting there, even though we're not literally sitting in heavenly places, it represents something. I mean, what's a seat? Just think about it. We're seated together. You can say, okay. And? It's got to mean something. It's in the word for us that we're seated. Who are we seated with? Jesus. We are joint heirs with Jesus. Everything that Jesus has belongs to me. See, the queen don't have to be sitting on that chair to be queen. When she brushes her teeth, she's the queen. Huh? When she got her gown on, she's the queen. If she's not feeling good, is she the queen? If she goes to the mall, is she the queen? So wherever you go, and no matter how you feel, you're a king.
Yes, I am.
No matter what they talk about on the job, it doesn't affect you. Huh? Right. Because you're a king.
Yes,
whatever's going on in government, whatever's going on in the world, it's a mindset where you think, this doesn't affect me. Now be careful, call me heavenly minded, because I'm guilty. Because that's the secret of your success, being heavenly minded. Because it overrides everything. Jesus prayed, I mentioned this last week. He taught the disciples a prayer, and in that prayer he said, your will be done on earth as it is in headquarters, in heaven. Huh? We're into the message now. The believer's authority. You have authority as a believer. That you walk on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, right? Nothing shall by any means. Say nothing.
Nothing.
Shall by any means.
Hurt me.
Yeah. Heavenly minded. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. You can't disconnect the two. Heavenly minded, where you seated at? That's not good English, but you understand what I'm saying. Where are you seated? So what are you talking about, heavenly minded? I mean, that's it. And my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. According to not what's going on the earth, according to his riches and glory. How does that play out? You walk in the job and you get promoted and you skip over other people who've been there longer, and there's no explanation for it other than the favor of God. See, it's this kind of stuff that happens, and you know, see, it's confirmation of this word I'm sharing. This is not something that is not practical. It's practical. Promotion is practical. Favor is practical. But we've got to use our authority. It's not always praying. We should pray. Amen?
Amen?
But there's a time when we need to use our authority, and we need to use it all the time. Don't let the devil, whose job is steal, kill, and destroy. What do we take authority over? Mentioned this last week. Anything that steals, kills, and destroys. And all of that, the author, the devil is the author of all of that. God don't put sickness on people. God don't steal no money from you. God didn't take your job, evict you to teach you something. I've been evicted. That's a horrible feeling. On 79th and Harcourt, Indianapolis. Shout out to the Indianapolis campus. I was evicted in your city. It wasn't God teaching me anything. Huh? One of the reasons why I was evicted is because, one thing led to another. I was fired, and God didn't take my job from me. I lost my job because I wasn't no good at it. I was selling cigarettes. And that's a long story. But I was so excited about the Lord, man. I was preaching when I should have been working. Huh? They paid me to sell cigarettes. They didn't pay me to, I know cigarettes bad. I know all that. But, you know, they paid me to take them cigarettes to those stores. They didn't pay me to preach. Hallelujah. It's amazing how people justify stuff. Well, I'm doing this for the Lord. Well, they're not paying you for that. That's a whole nother subject. So when you're on the job, but it relates to favor, do what you're supposed to do on that job. Don't take 30-minute break time and you got 15 minutes. You steal it. Then you want God's favor. Believe it or not, that's heavenly minded. Yeah. The Bible talks about that. Serve your people that you work for, and you do it as unto the Lord. Even if it's stuff you don't like. When I was going to Bible school, I didn't like to wax the floors. I didn't like to wipe off the gas pumps in the middle of the night. But that was my job. Huh? Right? And but you're doing it unto the Lord. Okay. Let's get into the message. Let's get into something you'll like. Authority. Man, gosh. Some people are missing opportunities. I say this from time to time, but it's true. You're missing opportunities on your job because you get there at 9 o'clock on the dot, if that's when you're supposed to be there. Get there a little bit early. When it's 5 o'clock, it's time to go. Don't slide off that dinosaur like Fred Flintstone. Old school folk know what I'm talking about, man. When that whistle blew, it's time to go. They slide off that. They're out of here. But honor the place that you work for. Christians ought to be the best workers on a job. You don't sit there in a corner and sip tea and not work. I got the favor of God. No, but you're supposed to be working. Right? As a king, And we ought to be the best. And see, God will give you solutions that other people can't come up with. Because you got the wisdom of God. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Anyway, let's get into this. Authority defined. A state of control over something. You have authority over all the works of the devil. We're going to think like kings. And don't let the devil run over your life and steal, kill, and destroy from you. Don't let him steal your finances. Right? Don't let him steal your health. You have a right to be healed. You have a right to be blessed. God supplies the power. We flip the switch. Electricity's it's here, but somebody had to turn these lights on. Using your authority is flipping the switch, and see, heaven will back you up in that. Amen? Amen. We looked at this last week, John 14:13-14, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. The word ask means to demand something due. So this is really not asking, this is really demanding in his name, and he will do it. You can call finances in, and he'll do it. In the name of Jesus, I call in $1,000. That's an example. That's not prayer. I'm demanding it, and some people get nervous about God's sovereignty. I'm going to share a little bit about that. I'm going to expand on it today about God's sovereignty. God is in control. That's what sovereignty means. But a sovereign God gave you authority. He gave us authority to do something. And we have promises. And any promise is already done. Like your healing, your prosperity, it's already done. It's already been given to you. So we just take it. And religious people think we're trying to make God do something. No, he already did it. And we've got an enemy trying to keep us from the blessings of God. And unfortunately, he uses religion to talk you out of it or keep you ignorant of it. In the name of Jesus, what does that mean? When we use our authority, Dave Benner, when we use our authority, it means that I expect the results, not because of who I am or because of what I've done, but because of who Jesus is and what he has done. All right, shared that last week. Okay. By giving us the name of Jesus, listen to this, it's powerful. God is giving us a signed check of all the resources of heaven. And all we got to do is fill it in. That's so nice, I'm going to say it twice. By giving us the name of Jesus, we have a signed check of all the resources of heaven. All the promises of God. All we got to do, Kitty, is fill it in. So my question to you today, heavenly-minded folks, what do you want heaven to do for you? How much money do you want? What kind of career do you want? What kind of business do you want? All things are yours in Christ. You don't have to shout. I just want you to think about what you want. What do you want God to do for you? These things are tying together. These things I've been sharing this year about thinking big. Think big. We serve a big God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Now, real quick, let's talk about God's sovereignty. We're living in a world, so the question is God in control? He ultimately, that's a trick, it's a tricky proposition. He ultimately is, but he's currently not. God is in ultimate control. In the end, everything goes back to him. But something happened in the garden when man was given authority. Adam, the original man, God gave him authority over the fish of the sea, the birds, and all the creeping things, the whole earth. When he sinned, when he ate of the tree that God told him not to eat of, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he turned all the authority in the earth. At the same time, he plunged the whole earth into sin. Romans 5:12 says, as by one man sin entered into the world, that's Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men. Okay? Everybody born after Adam inherited his sinful nature. That's why we need to be born again. The same time that he ate of that tree, he sinned. And sin is disobedience to God. God told him not to eat of the tree. He said, the day that you eat, you'll surely die. When he ate, he died spiritually. He went on living hundreds of years, so it couldn't have been talking about a physical death, right? He died spiritually. And that's why we need to be reborn, born again, because we inherited Adam's sin nature. The same time that he ate of that tree and died spiritually, he turned the authority in the earth over to Satan. It was a legal transaction. I'm going to prove it to you in the Bible. And ever since then, Satan has been in charge of this world. He has a temporary lease. Bring up 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this, in this case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Pause. Okay, so in the chapter before that, chapter 3, it talks about we are ministers of a new covenant, not the old covenant. Previous chapter calls the old covenant a ministry of death and a ministry of condemnation. But we're ministers of the new covenant. And keep in mind, this is great news of God's unmerited favor that you can be saved and God's not holding your sins against you. You're forgiven, you're loved, you're righteous. Seems like everybody would want that. So why do people resist? Right here. The very next chapter tells us that the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Okay, there's spiritual warfare going on. The devil's trying to blind people from the truth. Okay? I mean, atheism, for example, doesn't make any sense. It would take more faith for me to believe, again, and you can agree with this because your eyes are open. You're in the light. You're not blind no more. You see. But it would take more faith for me to believe there's not a God. I mean, like in social media, they talk about creators of social media, everything about creating things. Well, there's a creator that created the heavens and the earth. But people who create, they think it's something man just made up. And we are creators. And man making themselves God. I mean, If I told you, I don't have one of these winding watches, but it's the same thing. If you had a watch and you told somebody, you know how this watch came to be? Nobody made it. It just, you know, the second hand and the minute hand and the hour hand, it just came together on my wrist. Nobody made it. That sounds crazy to you, right? And a clock and a watch bases the time on something that doesn't change, the sun. And for somebody to think that that just came together, all of a sudden, it just, everything just comes together. Everything just, the sun is in the same spot. You know what I mean? I'm not into that world or whatever. I might not be saying this accurately, but the sun's where it's supposed to be, moon's where it's supposed to be, and it's never changed. And that just happened? It would take me more faith to believe this. It just all of a sudden just happened. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. What's my point? The devil blind people of stuff that's very simple to understand. But atheists, they think they're so smart when they try to make themselves God. That's just a side thought. But my point here is the God of this world. This is in your Bible, y'all. Your Bible might say something a little bit different. It may say the God of this age or the God of this world. Satan has a temporary lease on the earth. Amen. That don't mean the earth is his. Right. God is in ultimate control. You can read this in my book, God is Not Mad at You. I haven't mentioned that in a while. I wrote a book. Wrote a couple books. One of them is God is Not Mad at You. What? Let me explain a temporary lease. Let's say I talked about the apartment that I was evicted out of. I use myself as an example. Before I got evicted, I had a lease. I signed a lease. Anybody in an apartment or have been in one, you sign a lease. Okay? Now, do you own the apartment? Okay? You may not have met the owner. Now, while you have that lease, can the owner come in, watch TV while you're at work? Can the owner rearrange your furniture? You laugh at that. Why? Because it's a lease agreement. And you have a right to do what you want within certain parameters, right? And all that's in the lease. Now, if I violate the lease, like I did, I didn't pay, and I found my stuff on the front lawn with a rope tied around. That's another story altogether. But my point is, the devil, when Adam ate of the tree, turned the authority in the earth over to the devil, it was a legal transaction. He was given a temporary lease because Adam was the original leaseholder. God gave him authority over all the earth. When he ate of that tree, something happened. The authority was turned over to the devil. That's when he got the title, the God of this world. Is that in your Bible? The God of this world. Not a big G. Translators did good with that. It's a little G. Now, there'll come a time when God is going to evict him. The lease is temporary. When Jesus come back, he's going to evict him. But right now, he's the God of this world. Let me prove this to you further. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. These are the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, and the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the what? Of the world in a moment of time. Say, all the kingdoms of the world. Now, keep in mind, the backdrop of this is all of these things that Satan presented to Jesus were temptations. What makes a temptation is the ability to yield. Right? If you can't yield to it, it's not a temptation. Like, you can't tempt me, say, Pastor, I will give you $1 million if you get pregnant and have a baby. Is that a temptation for me? I may want $1 million, but I can't yield to it because I can't get pregnant. So in order for these to be temptations, Jesus had to have the ability to yield. Now watch this. He offered him what? He showed him the kingdoms of the world. Now, he's offering it to Jesus. Watch this. Isn't it something? And said to him, verse 6, to you, Jesus, I will give all this authority of what? The kingdoms of the world. And their glory. Watch this. People miss this. People have a hissy fit over I mean, it just go back crazy over the fact that I say you have authority over your finances, over your health. You can't just, well, it was just God's will for me to be sick. It was just God's will for my job, for me to be broke. It's just, you know, God's got some kind of purpose in it. That's nonsense. I said, that's nonsense. And here's what people miss. Oh, how dare, I mean, people, oh man, they turn red and they, oh, how dare him say you could just call for what you call in your finances. You better ask if it's God's will. Yeah, man. Heck out of here, man. For it has been delivered to me. Watch this, and I give it to whom I will. Oh, Satan just lying. He a liar. Oh, no, wait a minute now. I know he's a liar, but he's not telling a lie here. Because it's a temptation. Right? Remember what I said about that? It's a temptation. If he can't yield to this, it's not a temptation. He can yield to it. The kingdoms of the world and their glory were Satan's to offer because it was delivered to him. When was it delivered to him? In the garden when Adam turned the authority over to him. This is Sunday school, y'all, today. Every week this is Sunday school. This is very important to understand. Satan is the god of this world. Why do you think this world's in a mess? Why can't people just, you know, the whole thing with the Palestinians and Israel, why can't people just do what, you know, just sit down and figure something out? Why are folks mad at each other? Why are there inequalities in the world? Why are there starving babies? If God is in charge, he got this world in a mess. Huh? Just turn on the news any time of day. Just turn the news on. And then ask yourself, God's running this? God's in control? Ultimately, he is. Not right now. But the good news is, in the midst of the mess, we got authority over everything the devil tried to do to come against you. You ain't got to worry about nothing. Something out the blue. You know, marriage has its challenges. Don't walk out on your marriage. Somebody needs to hear that today. No show of hands, but how many of you had an opportunity to walk out the door in your marriage? Don't say nothing. You don't have to smile. And people allow the, you know, just the littlest things. And sometimes you, how many of you, no show of hands, you felt like leaving. Christians' divorce rate is just as bad as the world. Who is that? Let me think. Of that prophet, the psalmist that sang that song. Oh, it was the Jacksons. Every time I think I had enough and start heading for the door, it's a very strange vibration piercing me right to the core. It say, turn around, you fool. You know you love it more and more. Come on now. Tell me why is it so? Don't want to let you go. Bop, bop. Never can say goodbye. Turn around, you fool. Making a bad decision. Every time you think you had enough. Start heading for the door. There's something in that, boy. I'm heading for that door. But something get a hold of you. Y'all think this stuff's silly, but you'd be surprised. I say silly stuff and somebody, man, I needed that, Pastor. Because I was headed for that door. Turn around. You know you love her. You know you love him. Oh, man. Huh? Well, if I start this one, it's another segment here. My time seemed to be up. So what do? We just stop. That's enough. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we're just grateful. I pray for marriages right now. I pray for marriages on the rocks. I just thank you for restoration in every marriage in trouble right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. La makare de sokoro na makade. La rokosita la makare de. Sekoro tapai se. Dengradale koma sada la karide. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're a good, good Father. Thank you that we're seated together with Jesus. You made us kings. We're built to reign in life. Thank you for great grace. Thank you for more and more favor.